You weren't quite good enough to be a backup, and you damn sure aren't a starter. You're Riding the Pine with Kyle and TJ.
I am an enforcer, man. Don't nothing go down in my house.
Yeah, I do feel like I should let everybody know my resume when it comes to the sporting world. Let me run down my list of accomplishments. I was a five-year college intramural letterman. That is in flag football and basketball. I want to let you know that we won zero championships, but we did make the playoffs in the majority of those years.
Sure, I jacked a few fools. I give them the pain. But sometimes it's about intimidation, you know. It's mind games. I just do my job, man. I do what my God-given abilities allow me to do, and I thank Jesus Christ for it every single day. And do I enjoy what I do? Hell yeah.
Don't all teams make the playoffs? Or
Most of them. You know, we don't need to get into the semantics here.
Joining you from the far end of the bench, near the water cooler, in overtime, before extra innings. You get the point. Here's Kyle and TJ.
Hello and welcome to Riding the Pine, a week delayed. Week off we had, but we are back in the dungeon recording episode 22. You know what it is, TJ, is we turned legal, we had to go out.
We did.
We had a few too many. We needed some time off, but we're back. You may notice a distinct missing of a weird grunting and grumbling and the presence of a homeless man in studio here.
True, a little less disgusting in the dungeon tonight.
It is. You know, this podcast, this is the way I'll describe it. This podcast tonight's going to feel like a little bit more of two adults dressed as such, discussing sports and funny stories like adults would, with less vocal pauses and funny looks.
Absolutely. There's going to be less of the rambling, less of the and more of the hard-hitting funny.
We're about to bring you about 70 minutes of pure funny with none of those weird silences and guttural noises that you're also accustomed to now because Nader Todd has been a part of this podcast for so many volumes now, but for some reason decided to take the night off.
Yeah, I believe the exact quote was, "I feel like garbage." Hmm. And I think you put it best. We're going to treat him as such.
That's the way it goes. It's a vicious cycle. You know what? He's at home right now, probably, you know, maybe throwing up, maybe just wrapped under a blanket like a little baby would be.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight, we're going to treat him like that.
Absolutely.
When we record here, that's how you're going to be treated if you miss a podcast for a reason like that. Now, I do feel a little bit bad. We did miss a week last week with Riding the Pine. It was just a scheduling error. I had made plans already, and there was no other time throughout the rest of the week that we could make it happen. Well, I don't want to call us the primary members, TJ.
But I mean, listen. Let's just call it what it is. We are the primary members.
Yeah, if this is a motor vehicle, you and I easily equate for all four tires.
And the steering wheel.
And the steering wheel, and probably 80% of the engine.
He mm-hmm. provides. And 100% of the fuel, by the way.
Yeah, he is. Nate's a hubcap. Okay?
He's a fender.
Yeah, he's a piece.
He's a body kit.
He's a piece. He's not that difficult to he's kind of like a headlight bulb. He's not that difficult to replace.
It's a little bit of a pain when you don't have it, but ultimately you can still drive the engine because you still got one.
Yeah, it still works. Yeah. Everything still fits together fine. So that's kind of what Nate is here. The two pros are going to take the reins today just like we did before. You know, you hear it in an intro we play. You know, we did it before. We'll do it while he's here. We'll do it well after he's gone.
Yeah, it's not really going to be any different from any other day.
No.
Because it's still going to be 80% of the normal podcast when he's here is the two adults here, the two gurus breaking things down.
Yeah. Nobody really wants to hear, to have to listen to the two adults put baby in the corner half the time.
Yeah, we're going to be out a punch in the face, But we've stumbled through that before.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
We've stumbled through that the past 6 weeks with essentially not having a punch in the face.
That's true.
I saw his Twitter feed this past week, too. I thought he would be absolutely raring to go in terms of punch in the face.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of fuel this week.
He was lit up.
Oh, yeah.
He was lit up, and I thought, this is finally, the funk will be broken. He'll get back on his A game, back, you know, when he cared,
yeah,
when he contributed to the podcast.
Before he got comfortable in the corner there.
Yeah, but like I was mentioning before we got sidetracked, so the two primary members of the show were aware that we were not going to be able to record last week. The hubcap was not. So we do. I feel personally responsible. I feel a little bit bad. I do have Nader Tant's number, although the last time I did text him, I feel like our conversation was, hey, guys, you have any content? And it was met with nothing, no responses on his end. So I feel like that whole texting relationship had already been kind of damaged.
It sure has. It's not on a good location right now.
So then we neglect to tell him that we're not recording. Well, hindsight, turns out he decided to drive down here like a trooper and to an empty building. Did he text you and say, hey, I'm here?
I got a text while I was sitting at home that said, hey, are you here? And
oh,
I was
no.
like, what is he talking about?
Oh,
what?
Boy.
Oh, man. Yikes. He definitely is trying to record tonight and not having any of that.
I could have given him, I don't have one, but I could have stumbled onto a key card or a secret code, and he could have come in and record his own podcast. I'm sure that would have been a gold mine.
That might have displaced us from Kings of the Internet. I'm glad I'm glad you didn't do that.
That's true. You know, and if, but at the rate he works, he would have gotten that thing posted online in 2015. Because I don't
that's
know
so
if,
true.
I don't know if anybody's noticed. We are still waiting for a total team effort that TJ and I, as usual, were the primary members of 2 weeks ago to be posted online. Episode 7, ladies and gentlemen, is in the tank. It is somewhere in the deep abyss known as Nader Tant's hard drive.
Yeah, and
if he can somehow sift through his weirdo porn and find that video to edit, that will be posted sometime in the very near future.
Yeah, and he said, he texted me and he said, hey, I don't think the video made it to Dropbox. Will you throw an intro in front of it in Movie Maker or whatever and post it? And I was like, well, maybe it didn't make it to Dropbox. I'll re-upload it. So I re-uploaded it, and I was looking at it. This is green check mark. That means it's right there in the Dropbox.
It's good. We can all see it.
I told him, it's in the Dropbox. Go for it.
Yeah.
Have at it. Still nothing.
Still nothing. So this is Nader Tant's verbal warning, I guess you can say, of get on it, buddy. Yeah, maybe I'm not looking in the right place. But I don't see it in my Dropbox right now.
On my computer, it's in the Dropbox.
Maybe Nader Tant and I checked on my phone, but maybe that's something different. But needless to say, hopefully we'll see that in the near future. If not, we'll just have to replace that video editing expertise somehow.
Some way,
yeah. But needless to say, my personal theory of why he's skipping today, this week's edition, TJ, is he is absolutely licking his wounds after missing the fantasy hockey playoffs.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
What a point.
What a glorious
We haven't talked
victory.
Since this came to fruition, but you can, to all of our listeners, you can now address us as the co-gurus of fantasy hockey, if
you
like.
Although I did get my ass beat
in the first round. You got there.
I did.
You got there. You know what? What do we talk about? When you climb that mountain, what's the point of standing up there? Start to make your way back down.
Yeah.
You're
not going to live there.
No. You got there. You looked out. You said, whatever. And you came back down.
Hey, I finished top four in the regular season. As far as I'm concerned, the regular season beats the postseason.
And you know where Nader Tant got was to base camp. And then he trucked it home.
And then he fell in a crevasse.
He's still 127 hour style. He's still struggling to get out of there.
They're making a movie based on, actually they did. It's called Vertical Limits. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I am. The family mountain climbing movie, of course, TJ. I don't know anybody who's not familiar with it.
I'm just saying. I think he might have fallen in the crevasse. And I don't know if he's trying to live there or if he still hasn't gotten over it, or he's trying to survive, climb his way out. But it seems like he's just trying to hide and accept his fate.
He had to have. Now, he's had some time to get his bearings about him, but the fantasy hockey, the, what is it? It's 10 team, which the fact that I'm still amazed that we wrangled up 10 animals to play that.
I'm shocked.
Well, we did. And if you don't follow our Facebook, you really should. That's where we kind of gave weekly to semi-weekly updates on the standings of fantasy hockey. That's facebook.com/ridingthepine. And I held first place throughout the majority of the season, received a first round bye. Natertot, to his credit, climbed his way out of a bigger crevasse earlier on in the year.
He did.
He was a train wreck of a team. Straightened, he righted the ship a little bit, got just above 500 before a final week. I can't even call it a meltdown. He won his matchup. It just didn't work. He got passed by the team behind him by literally 1 point to miss the playoffs in the win column. He missed out on the playoffs by 1 point in the win column. Now, TJ, you and I went to a local tavern.
Yes,
to watch opening day of the baseball season. I believe this is was this a week and a half ago? Mm-hmm. And we reminisced about this. The hockey trade that was the highlight
that doomed his season.
of Nader Tot's season that he wanted to literally argue about on this podcast about a month ago before I had to nip it in the bud and say that is not content for this airwave in any regard ever. But we can recap it slightly by saying Nader Tot gave TJ a top-tier goalie.
Absolutely.
And Nader Tot,
especially during the final week of the season when, you know, you're trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to anchor those points in and not try and
forecast
your way to the...
Maybe keep your second goalie pick.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I would.
But the trade was for that goalie, and TJ in return gave up a... I don't want to diminish it, so I'll let you describe it, but I would call him a above role player, but not one of your premier players in any regard.
I'd call him a solid B-.
Exactly.
He's a B-.
To address
he's not a first liner.
No.
He plays a lot of power play and penalty kill, but ultimately, he plays for the Sharks, and the Sharks have so many other weapons, it's going to be hard for anyone who's not like Sidney Crosby to dominate that team.
To address his importance, TJ and I's discussions about a trade that had been ongoing for about a week, this player was literally the last throw-in piece of this deal.
Exactly what he was, a throw-in on our deal.
He was. He was a throw-in.
And in hindsight, it's a great thing you didn't make that trade.
It is.
The other player who was the centerpiece was... later injured for the rest of the year.
Prize return that I was seeking was injured for and is still injured, still out. So needless to say, Natertot makes that trade. Well, TJ and I just did some quick math off
some
the top
sleuthing,
of our heads.
Some gumshoeing.
Just by pulling up the results from that week, and this goalie that Nate had traded to TJ was good for, I believe it was three wins or two wins the past week. It didn't matter.
3 wins in 1 week. That's as good a week as you can have.
Because it happened to be the win column for Natertot was a big loss that past week. Hence, we can now say to his face, that trade lost your season.
Cost you your season.
And he doesn't make that trade. He gets in the playoffs. Who knows what happens? You were the 4 seed.
True.
You ended up getting bounced in resounding fashion somehow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anything can happen at that point once you make it in. We all know that. Look at the New York Giants 2 years out of the last 5.
Absolutely. It was really weird because my team was streaking hard.
Yeah.
Like, my team was on fire, and then all of a sudden, playoffs come, and everyone starts getting injured. Everyone starts...
That's how it goes.
You know, getting in the penalty box and not much else. So.
Well, I am in the midst of the semifinal matchup, as you're hearing now, TJ out of it. Natertot not in it by any regard. Natertot, I don't know if he's holding this
never
as a
really
grudge.
In it.
No, he was kind of that afterthought. Natertot, I don't know if he's holding a grudge for this or not, but he chose to not partake in our 29-round fantasy baseball draft, TJ.
That's how you do it. That is how the champions do it.
He turned us down. He turned me down resoundingly when I asked him. He was not going to have any of that.
That's shocking. I'm actually in 3 baseball leagues this year.
Oof.
2 normal ones, and then the second annual Caucasian leagues. You can only draft and play white players.
Of course.
And we're going for the real John Smith, American born.
Yeah.
Well, they can be Canadian too. I think Americans and Canadians are legal, but yeah, everything else is out of the question.
So you're telling me a guy like Lyle Overbay is a legitimate high draft pick?
Yeah.
That is remarkable. So, Andy Dirks from the Detroit Tigers.
Andy Dirks is in the starting outfield.
I mean, absolutely. Zach Greinke and Jared Wheat. I mean, this has to be a pitcher-heavy league, right?
It sure is. Yeah, man. I have Clayton Kershaw, obviously.
Of course. Duh.
And I think my last pitcher is... who did I just pick up today? I can't even remember. I have Ryan Vogelsong.
Good. That's a good Caucasian name.
Trevor Cahill. Trevor.
Oh, my God. Never has anybody outside of mid-American Caucasian been named Trevor.
It's true. There's a lot of Kyles and
Trevors
and...
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Now, how long, this is the question I have for you, is how long until one or three of those leagues gets somewhat or fully forgotten?
A strong chance. It's a really strong chance because I'm a week and a half in. I'm still like, oh my gosh, this daily thing of three teams it's a little much.
That's why I'm telling you, Nader Tot was pining for that daily hockey league, and I said, listen, that is an unfair advantage simply because this league is casual and there's 10 teams, 9 of them would not set this thing on a daily basis.
I came around to the weekly lineup like strong. The one thing I had a problem was you know, when you could set your lineup.
Exactly. Yeah, but, and that was not our fault at all. That was a functionality error on the website's part.
Yeah, but I came around to it because it was really nice to just set your lineup for the week and then see what happened.
Exactly.
I loved it.
It was kind of like a guessing game.
Yeah.
You just be
That's
like,
what it is, exactly.
Throw everything into a... It's like when you make a crock pot dish or a casserole. You just kind of throw 15 ingredients in there, turn it on high, check it in a few hours and go,
see where it goes.
Yeah. All right. Let's dig in. Let's eat. You know, that's the way it is. Oh, also, side note, TJ, I did want to mention this to you. And I don't want to come off as braggy, but you're talking to a possible hockey champion. I am the football champion.
True.
Dominating the basketball championship right now.
Oh, man. That's the other league that I just completely...
You forgot?
I did.
I checked it the last 2 weeks because playoff time, duh. So there's a good chance that I may be a three-time fantasy champion coming up in the next week
or so. You're going for the fantasy grand slam this year.
Oh, my God. If I hit baseball, watch out. I'm going to be burning couches. My own, but I'll be burning it.
1 week in, you got some ground to make up.
Oh, it's ugly. I can already tell you I will not finish in the top four in baseball. I don't know what it's lacking yet because I do not have the time to take to look at this team and fix the problems.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you right now, hitting's going to be an issue. When Matt Kemp is batting like 160 with 3 hits on the season.
Not great.
Victor Martinez, 160 with 1 RBI. These are high draft picks.
It's not great when your high draft picks do that. I'm playing Miguel Cabrera this week.
Good. And, lucky you.
And he had a stolen base today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's that.
There's that. So I'm in the midst of that, and I can already tell my baseball season is going to be a total hogwash of pitchers.
Yeah.
I will be picking up upwards of 2 to 4 new pitchers every week because they are already a train wreck as well.
You know, that's a good strategy, though. Just pick up a probable starter for the day.
I always like to have a spare spot in my pitching staff
absolutely.
Where I can pick up a probable once or twice a week if I want that. Anybody facing the Astros?
Absolutely.
Lock them in.
Absolutely.
I don't care if it's the fifth starter from Cleveland, whatever. It doesn't matter. Lock them in. 7 innings, 8 strikeouts, 1 earned. Promise.
That's like the Astros promotional plan is come watch the other team pitch a perfect game
it
against
really
us
is.
Every night.
Yeah. You might see a no-hitter. Just plan on it. I believe I read through 14 days or something, or 10 days, whatever it may be, 10 walks, 82 strikeouts for the Astros. Absolutely remarkable numbers.
I want to say they scored like 9 runs through the first 8 games, and then they had a game where they scored 10 runs in like 2 innings. So,
it's not
great news in Houston. And
they pulled off that opening day stunner somehow against Texas Rangers, and it has been, honestly, it has been like the top thrill dragster at Cedar Point downhill.
See, and we're AL guys, so we never really followed the NL, but even I, as an AL fan, knew that the Houston Astros were like the MLB dumpster fire. And
oh, yeah.
Then they get thrown into the AL, which already that's going to cost you probably 10 wins. And then they get thrown in the AL West, which is probably the strongest division in baseball. So that cost you another 10. I'll be shocked. They might break the Tigers' record for AL losses.
There's a good chance, and I hope they do so we can get our team's name off of that filthy, filthy record that they own.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, a quick reference before we move on here. We just killed more time with just two pros in the room than we do with that excess baggage. Like, he's a baggage fee.
He sure is.
He's like, you know, we can carry on. But when he's in the room, we got to check luggage.
We got to wait at the carousel when we land.
Oh, God. And of course, his is missing. And it's just it's a trash bag of stuff. That's what it is when Nader Tot's in the room. But when you tighten the operation up, look what happens. You get hot sports takes.
We just sludge through everything, man.
Oh,
just,
my God.
Just keep it going. So smooth.
Just
real
fresh, breakdown.
So clean, so smooth.
I did want to mention that before we move on, because we do have a litany of stories we do want to get to this week before we pass it on to you folks. The first story we want to get to, and it's going to take just a quick recap. TJ, I don't know your level of anger, sadness.
Was angry. Was not. Angry with the team.
Okay.
I was angry with...
Have you moved on from it now?
I've moved on.
Have you reflected to the point where
it was a night-long rage.
Of course. That is how it goes. TJ, obviously a big University of Michigan Wolverine fan. They suffered a disheartening national championship loss Monday night to the Louisville Cardinals.
It was such a great game until the refs ruined it.
It was. The refs seemed to get in the way of that game.
The first half, I think, was the best half of basketball I've ever watched, ever.
You know, as the refs have, a lot of the tournament, though, this was among recent NCAA tournaments, I don't remember hearing this much chatter in hindsight about poor refereeing.
Yeah, and I get it because it's the national championship. How can you possibly have poor refereeing?
It's a national scale, and you know what? I did read an article about it. It might have been on Deadspin as well, about how they do that. They start with... I think it was 96 officials, and it's essentially March Madness for them.
Yeah.
They grade out after each round, and they pare that down to the 9 final officials for the final four. If this was the final four, or the final 9 of best officials, that was a pretty miserable showing.
And it's not great. It's like the NFL replacement refs decided to take a shot at basketball. It really was.
And like I mentioned, it was all tournament long. The Wichita State call against Louisville in the Final Four with the possession arrow debacle was one of the more mind-boggling calls I've ever seen.
And the total fouls in that game worked out to about even, but it was the timing of them and the severity of how wrong they were.
Anybody who looks at the box score of that national championship game will go, oh, hey, you know, fair, down the middle. And that was simply because, like you mentioned, the timeliness and everything else worked against Michigan, it seemed like, especially
all
towards
game.
The end.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that game is in the rearview mirror, looking towards 2013-2014, TJ. Trust me, I'm a Michigan State fan. I know how national title games go. I know how Final Fours go, and it's always a heartbreaker. See, unless you're in a national title like mine, like my Spartans, which was I think it was like a 65-point trouncing by the North Carolina Tar Heels 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
I'd prefer that.
Not great.
I prefer that.
You do prefer that?
I would prefer that over what Michigan suffered.
Oh, you're right, because there was hope during the entire thing, and then you get to the point where there's like 45 seconds left, and you're just like...
You
have to accept it right then, too.
It hits you like a hammer, whereas mine, I looked up at the scoreboard, saw 35-12, and said, hey, it's time to drink a few.
All right, well, let's do keg stands.
Yeah, it's time to get this thing in the rearview mirror and forget this ever happened. Well, I will call him the second half hero of the game. I think Louisville, without Peyton Siva, he did not win... whatever the championship player of the game.
Most outstanding player
that went to Hancock, who had an electric first half and a somewhat forgettable second half. Should have been more forgettable second half. I think it should have gone to Peyton Siva, who finished the second half with, I think, 15 points, 4 assists, 6, 7 rebounds. A really good stat line.
Good all-around stat line, for sure.
So it looked really good for him.
Made us free throws down the stretch, too.
Which is what
I wonder what that feels like.
Yeah.
I don't.
which is what Louisville needed to do. Guard play was going to be essential for them. You have to match up against Player of the Year Trey Burke. Peyton Siva, second half, did that.
Yeah.
I mean, he really did. Peyton Siva carried the Louisville Cardinals to the national championship, in my mind. Well, some news came out about him that it's I won't call it surprising because it's not, but it's surprising that he could not understand what this person was immediately. Now, anybody who's a Twitter user, if you're new to Twitter, which I'm not new to Twitter, but you'll still get these. Oh, they're essentially porn people. I mean,
I don't even really know what they are other than they make an account 1 second before they spam you.
Yeah, and that's what it is. There's that, and then there's apparently this where there's Twitter prostitutes. Now, there's an image of this woman, which if this image is on her Twitter anywhere near it, and you think, oh, hey, I'd like to chat with her, you're kidding yourself.
You are.
That's stupid. I mean,
he must just really think that national championship moved him to the next level because...
Yeah, now let's forget that Peyton Siva is in a relationship.
Let's forget that he's also a mongrel.
He is. That is an ugly man.
He's not a great-looking individual.
I was trying to figure out what his tattoo on his chest was. It looks like some type of crazy barbed wire going everywhere.
Yeah.
Very unattractive. Not a handsome-looking fella. But in the same respect, I don't think whatever this woman is attractive either. I mean, proportionally, maybe. I don't know. Looks incredibly fake.
It's hard to judge in the position she's sitting in.
When your upper leg reminds me of the 1990s classic Anaconda, that's an issue.
If your upper thigh can be described as a ham hock.
There's not a better word in the English dictionary than what you just used for that. Okay?
Needless
to say, Peyton Siva decided to get involved with this woman, and by involved I mean send just absurd text messages with her in hopes of meeting up with her. Now, this story ends. I will read this end to you first. This is what she tweeted out, and somehow this Twitter whore is verified. I don't know. Apparently, if you just have a lot of followers but aren't famous, Twitter verifies you now?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, she's not famous. P.S. I'm a hoe. I get paid to blank as a living. Nobody mad about nobody having a girlfriend, but you want to holla, bring the money.
Hashtag that's it.
She is a whore. Who has sex for money, TJ?
Yeah, she's a prostitute.
That's out in the open in her regard. I mean, she's not hiding that fact at all. Her actual Twitter profile says hosting live cam show, and you can book her at her own Gmail account. That's how sad it is. Okay, and
she has her own website.
Yeah, but that's what she is. So apparently, Peyton Siva thought they were just going to be boyfriend girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so she decided to...
Happily ever after.
Apparently, she was upset with the way he had kind of been playing around with her, essentially not wanting to pay her money for her time, I guess. So she decided...
Let's date, and we can do that for free.
Yeah. She decided to post some screenshots that Mr. Siva had sent to her, pictures of him on the beach, want to come to the beach, and you can show me the... exclusive exercises with the winky emoticon. That's cute.
Yeah, what is this?
And then there's one that there's no way we can... Well, I guess it does say abs. I thought that said something else when I first read it. I want to lick your abs. Apparently some spelling errors going on. I'll lick your whole body. Some real problems going on here with a girlfriend for Peyton Siva. And then he made... How ironic is this in a week where the most emotional story for an NCAA team in recent memory, Kevin Ware shatters his leg on live television. Adidas profits off that in the millions. The whole team wearing, you know, pray for number
win
five,
for
win for Ware, win for number five,
blah,
whatever
blah,
it may
blah.
Be. Well, the images Siva sends to this Twitter prostitute happened to be him wearing his Rise to the Occasion for Kevin Ware shirt, essentially.
His Adidas warm-up
And
shirt.
She responds with a nice shower image
Dear
of nothing
God.
But her backside.
Oh, my gosh. This is ridiculous, man.
No word on the follow-up on this, but it's happened before. There's many stories, and you can see a link right here, TJ. Ronnie Turiaf, James Harden has been in trouble with this. It happens, and these Twitter whores are apparently a thing.
That is amazing. What a dumb ass.
What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, I know he's a stupid jock, but he's still a college-educated jock. What the hell is the matter with you?
Yeah, but how do you think this is going to pan out? You decide to start flirt texting with a Twitter model behind your girlfriend. Just a baffling decision for Peyton Siva there. That makes you wonder was his girlfriend one of those girls who, I don't care, I'm with you because you're a basketball player anyway, or that thing's got to be over.
I think she's already accepted the NBA lifestyle of he's going to have these girls in every city he travels to. So
yeah, I mean, I had similar problems throughout my years in slow pitch softball and intramural basketball, TJ.
Yeah, tell me more.
Twitter models. Groupies.
You'd post your box score and they'd be like, damn, he's making it to the league.
Yeah. I'd be like, 2 points, 4 boards, 2 on the offensive glass, 3 assists and a foul out. They'd be like, what's up?
You just moved to the second round in Chad Ford's latest mock.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm a project pick. They're going to stash me overseas. But yeah, man, I had groupies flocking. Then when I took 2 walks in slow pitch softball, you have no idea how much a base on balls excites women. It just gets them crazy.
I think I do know how much base on balls, air quotes, excites them.
Gets them all going crazy. Yeah. Well, let's transition from that to a more positive love story coming from the NCAA tournament, TJ.
Yes, absolutely.
Your Michigan State Spartans, I think we can all agree that the star of that game for for the Michigan Wolverines. I'm sorry. I messed that one up. That was a total verbal slip up.
I was just going to let it go. I wasn't sure because we do have a Michigan State story.
We do. But this is not that one. The star of that game for the Michigan Wolverines was no doubt backup point guard Spike Albrecht.
Absolutely. Justin Bieber, only shorter.
Yeah, he really is.
Justin Bieber with a J.
The heir apparent to the Trey Burke Player of the Year era at Michigan. So Michigan fans, love him now because in 11 months, I think your tone will be changing.
Yeah, it could be.
You're not going to match Trey Burke.
If
he does what
he did in the first half every game, then
Remember his second half in the championship as well as the second half against Syracuse where he was having difficulty inbounding the basketball.
I do vaguely remember him scoring 0 points in the second half.
Exactly. What will stand out to me from him in this tournament was obviously this crazy run that he went on, but also his second half and Michigan got out of it, but him burning 2 timeouts, troubling to get the ball inbound. Yeah. Very, very difficult times.
Not a great time to burn 2 timeouts when you're down.
Not
late
ideal.
Too.
But he was trending worldwide on Twitter Monday night for his performance in the first half, lighting up the scoreboard before Hancock took over from Louisville.
At one point, because I was interested, I checked his Twitter handle at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and he had, I think, 10,000 followers, and he started the day with 2. But then I checked 5 minutes later, and he had already gotten another 6,000 followers on
Twitter.
It's
crazy how it just flocks like that.
Yeah.
Well, Spike Albrecht was not going to let that pass by the following morning.
No way, man. This might be the only 15 minutes he gets.
Good chance. There's a good chance of that happening. Now, I don't remember the exact words, so I'll let you describe what actually happened. But like you mentioned, kind of jumped all over those 15 minutes of fame to make him work his time.
He sure did. A lot of coaches during the NCAA tournament, they'll institute a no social media policy or whatever. And so you hadn't seen any tweets from any of the players or anything for the last month or so.
Yeah.
But the first thing Spike Albrecht thinks to do after they lose the national championship, and I assume that they're driving a bus back to Ann Arbor or whatever, first thing he decides to do is mac on the one and only Kate Upton.
Why wouldn't you? If you're going to hit on one woman on Twitter, why wouldn't it be the beautiful Kate Upton?
It's going to be Kate Upton. Well, I know. I don't know if everyone else knows Kate Upton, born and raised in Michigan.
Yep.
Huge Michigan Wolverine fan. She's at the game. Mm-hmm. Spike Albrecht noticed she was at the game, and he knew that she saw him just stroke those 3-pointers all day.
Yeah.
And so he says, hey, Kate Upton, I saw you at the game. Hopefully I'll be seeing you around some more.
What an absolute ballsy move on this kid's part. Got to respect it. You know, yeah. This is a kid who probably can't grow in a mustache if they paid him to do it.
No.
But in his defense, TJ, Kate Upton had just responded to a video of his probable cousin weeks earlier asking her to prom.
Really?
They looked identical. These nerdy dweeb kids.
These dopey white kids.
There's no way they aren't from the same family. No way. So Spike and his cousin are both trying to get a response from Kate Upton on Twitter. That's respect.
By the way, that's one of my least favorite things. Asking celebrities out to prom in a stupid YouTube video.
That's a lose-lose.
Grow some balls and get your own date, loser.
That's a lose-lose situation right there.
It is.
There.
Did you recently see the one about the monster who asked Rick Porcello to the
prom? Yeah.
Not great. I was embarrassed for the people who made it, the people who produced it, directed it, tweeted it, and I was more embarrassed for Rick Porcello. But I was impressed that he took a stand and said, F no, I'm not going to prom with
you mongrel. Did he respond?
Yeah. He was very cat and mouse about it, like, oh, I might have a game that day, blah, blah, blah. But I was proud of him because most people give in.
They cave in. Yeah. Now, for most people, a lot of people listening are not Detroit Tigers fans, so they are not familiar with Rick Porcello, who broke into the major leagues at age 20.
He's a heartthrob.
He's a handsome fella.
Yes.
He's also the most boring person on the planet.
He is.
But hey, that doesn't matter.
He
money, baseball, fame.
He could have stood in the corner and did a two-step or.
Probably lucky she didn't take Rick Porcello to prom. Because four of her friends would have been pregnant.
She could have stood there with him and done the twist and then also helped raise her friend's child.
That's how it would have gone. A to B. Take Rick Porcello to prom, four teenage pregnant friends.
All of a sudden, half the teachers are gone the next morning.
That's just A to B. That's just how that works like that. Well, also, in regards to basketball, you know, I've mentioned my Michigan State Spartans a few times today, TJ. And, you know, they made it to the Sweet 16 before getting bounced by a Duke squad that was absolutely blown to pieces by the national championship Louisville Cardinals. So I don't know if I'm glad they got bounced in the Sweet 16, but that was an absolute embarrassment for Duke.
But speaking of blown to pieces.
Didn't even plan on that, but that's a nice transition. Now, there is a bit of a touch of a rivalry, I guess you can say, between Michigan and Michigan State.
Yeah.
Over the years, extends to both sports. For most part, it's been a kind of a transition for a lot of years. Football dominant Michigan, basketball dominant Michigan State. Then for about, you know, 3 or 4 years, it was both Michigan State was winning, and now Michigan's rebounding in the basketball front and in the football front. So it's evening out again somehow after weird sways like a.
It really was weird, man. It's
been a weird transition.
You'll have to take our word for it, people who don't live in Michigan. It was
a baffling
bizarre.
5 years.
Yeah.
A real baffling 5 years, but everything looks to be on the up and up now. Well, that has done nothing but stoke the rivalry more, I think. When both of the main sports, and by main sports, I don't want to diminish the other ones, but when the main sports, football and basketball,
the moneymakers,
are competitive, fans get more and more riled up than usual. I don't think that's arguable.
It's not.
Well, this one Michigan State fan decided to take it to a new level. Now, this is the type of fan that even if Michigan State's gone, it doesn't matter. He's still rooting against Michigan.
Yeah, this is not unknown territory for Michigan State either. We're very familiar with the riots in East Lansing.
1999, I believe.
Even recently. They had some couch-burning episodes.
They don't take losing very well, especially in the tournament. Now, to their credit, I didn't hear anything this Sweet 16 loss about it. But it didn't happen.
Could have, yeah.
It could have. But this student decided to celebrate the Michigan loss to Louisville in a special manner, TJ.
Absolutely.
East Lansing police were called because somebody spotted an individual walking down a stairwell carrying nothing but toilet bowl cleaner, which kudos to this person who saw this and figured that's trouble.
One,
you have a little bit too much knowledge there, Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, maybe shut off the CSI and do some homework.
My God. Who could? Like, if I see someone walking down the street with toilet bowl cleaner, I go, oh, yeah, taking toilet bowl cleaner somewhere. I don't know. I don't care.
But
it's not enough to raise suspicion.
But typically, not a lot of people are cleaning their toilets on a parking structure.
Truth. That's also very true. Well, the officers approached this guy and asked, hey, fella, Why are you carrying toilet? What you got in your hand there? You got some. You got some of the works. Gonna go clean some toilet bowls. They probably noticed he didn't have a brush, and they're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa! That's a problem. Bring it in here." So they said, so they bring this kid over, and they're talking to him. Now, while they're talking, they hear a loud explosion on the top of the parking structure. Apparently, this absolute mongrel decided to make a homemade bomb in celebration of Michigan losing the national championship.
In fairness to him, who hasn't done that?
Yeah, I mean, I do it all the time. Like, I
take a few bottles from under the sink.
Yeah, I'm a diehard Ravens fan. So when they won the Super Bowl this past year, I made a pipe bomb and threw it at the nearest car I could find.
It's funny that you say that because I actually did the same thing as Giancotti here. Just grab some Windex, works, some Clorox, and mix them all together in a Tupperware container and put it in someone's mailbox.
That's how you make bombs.
Yeah.
You literally mix household products and just put them in a different place. That's how it works.
Yeah. Good for him.
I do need to distance myself a little bit from this. I was cheering louder than anybody in that comeback win against Kansas. Now, my tone did change in the following games, but I was on board. I was on board until my Michigan State Spartans lost that same night.
Yeah.
So kudos to Cody there, the champion of intelligence in the Free Beer and Hot Wings universe. He would definitely be the idiot of the day.
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt about it.
I think I kind of want to go here, but I don't want to go here. I'm not going to go here.
You're going to record it?
I was going to take a jab.
All right.
Take a jab at All Michigan right. State.
I respect
but
you withholding. We don't need that. We don't need that, that short man statue type of arguing on this podcast.
That's
we're above
true.
That. Nathan
we
Todd's
we really
not
are.
Here. We're above it.
Got my suit and tie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just at work, you know.
Just adjusting it. We're just putting in ours. Punch in, punch out. That's how we do it.
We don't appreciate that thug culture.
Yeah, Nader Todd, keep it at home. Okay. So moving on. Another thing started while we were away, TJ. Baseball season. Now, everybody loves baseball season. And if you don't, I saw you wrote a blog post about why you're an idiot.
Yeah. Did you agree with that?
I did. 100%.
Yeah. Eat it, people who don't
like
baseball.
We'll link that on the Riding the Pine Facebook so you can read it. Even if you're not a baseball fan, it does feel like a little bit of a special time of the year. When opening day is around, you know, it's way too cold
Everyone's
to be at a baseball stadium, but everybody's there anyway.
Even people who, like, don't follow baseball throughout the entire year can get into opening day.
Yeah. Now,
it's one of the few baseball games during the year that is really significant.
We're going to talk about a promotion. Now, we talked about a few promotions before and how we made fun of the Marlins for essentially their buy a rotisserie chicken, get season tickets for free campaign. But the Pittsburgh Pirates, now they have some decent building blocks there. A really young, very talented outfielder what is his name?
Andrew McCutchen.
Well, McCutchen, but there's another one I thought. Maybe he's not an outfielder.
Marte.
Yes, Starling Marte. Andrew McCutchen, obviously the two biggest names in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and they got off to that great start last year where everyone was like, this is the year, man. They're on quite a playoff drought. I think it's like 21 seasons
Yeah,
now.
And that, I thought early on that was it last year. They were going
to
end it.
And if you're going to do it, the NL Central is the division to do it because that division's not very good.
Well,
but then they tanked and finished below 500 yet
they
again.
Did. Again. So they had that reason for a little bit.
Yeah.
But the Pittsburgh Pirates, like every Major League Baseball franchise, you run those campaigns, those freebies to get the fans out to the ballpark on, you know, it's usually a Tuesday afternoon where you're going to find these giveaways and promotions, TJ.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know when this one is scheduled for.
No. I just feel like I should interject for a second.
Okay.
Teams that are good have good promotions.
True.
Like Miguel Cabrera hit
bobble
for the triple.
Well,
bobblehead. I think most teams have bobbleheads,
yeah.
But like Miguel Cabrera hit for the triple crown. I think they're going to do a promotion where they give away crowns to the first 10,000 fans or something like that. But
or a winter hat, you know, for opening day and then for the northern teams, whatever it may be.
Yeah, but crappy teams like the Pirates and the Kansas City Royals have to resort to minor league stuff like this.
This is some Bush League stuff here. Now, we mentioned the two bigger players from the Pirates that you'd probably want a souvenir of.
Those are the ones that get bobbleheads.
Well, what about New York Yankee cast-off AJ Burnett? much memorabilia from AJ Burnett do you want?
I think the only plausible promotion for AJ Burnett Day at the ballpark is a fifth of Burnett's.
Gotta be it.
So you can get blacked out and forget the game.
Probably cheaper to buy hundreds of cases of Burnett's than whatever they paid for these t-shirts.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Now, okay, a t-shirt, that's fine. Maybe it'll have, you know, pirates on it, and maybe it'll have a, you know, a AJ Burnett stat line, something on the back about Burnett, and then the day of the year, opening day 2013,
like
whatever.
Burning down batters or something stupid like that.
Something stupid with a flame behind his fastball. Yeah. Really dumb. Well, what about the most pompous, ridiculous photo of all time? This is AJ Burnett.
That doesn't even look like him, man.
This is AJ Burnett literally as a wrestler. He looks like a wrestler. He has sunglasses on, greasy hair, and his arms are crossed over his chest, giving two peace signs.
You know who he looks like?
Who?
And I mean, this is the go-to, but he looks like Vanilla Ice.
He does! He really does. The hair does it. The hair, it's kind of up and slicked back.
Like, it's like a dead hit.
If he had a line shaved in the side of it, it would be a dead ringer for Vanilla Ice.
I hate white people. Only a white person could have came up with this stupid promotion.
Oh, my goodness. Now, this is, apparently the giveaway is courtesy of the Bradenton, Florida Convention and Visitors Bureau, which I'm sure, they did make the comparison.
Oh, wow.
That is a dead ringer for Vanilla Ice. But apparently the Bradenton Area Convention and Visitors Bureau are trying to shed the idea of only geriatrics in their cities, because who thought of this?
What does Bradenton, Florida have to do with anything?
I'm assuming it's where they play spring baseball. That has to be it.
Oh my gosh.
But either way, that's it. It has a Pittsburgh Pirates logo on his shirt, but it's not very noticeable. It's literally just a picture of AJ Burnett giving dual peace signs, looking like a grade A douche. Looking like Vanilla Ice, like you called it.
Just so disappointed.
Now, they also have an A.J. Burnett, but they're really hammering this A.J. Burnett. He had a good year last year.
Yeah, he did. He bounced back pretty strong.
But still, you're on the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they're having A.J. Burnett's not bringing fans to the ballpark. He's not the guy doing it.
No, he's not, and he's their ace, so that's
visiting,
really a bummer.
Visiting teams are what's bringing fans to the Pittsburgh Pirates ballpark. Hey, Tigers in town. Hey, Yankees, Red Sox, whatever.
It was funny. I think it's Darren Rovell posted a picture of Pittsburgh Pirates opening day on Twitter of the stands, and it was like a view from home plate from the pitcher's mound looking back towards home plate.
Yeah.
And there was like 10 people in the seats.
That does not surprise me in the slightest bit. Absolutely
and
ridiculous.
It kind of surprised me because I always hear that PNC Park, where the
beautiful
Pirates play, is one of the best parks in
beautiful
the country. But
continue to roll out subpar product for two decades, and that's what you get.
That's true.
So anybody listening in the Pennsylvania area, you have a couple chances to get out and get the AJ Burnett t-shirt, and then AJ Burnett bobblehead day will be May 18th. So hook us up with one of those.
Wearing a camo jersey, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Please do that. Please send us all of these things.
I believe there will be no charge for them either.
I would love to eBay the cost of one of those shirts right now. It must be going for pennies.
Hmm.
Absolute pennies. Now, keeping with the baseball theme, honestly, there's zero reason to ever reference a game by these two teams unless something like this happens, DJ. Safeco Field, which, like you mentioned,
is this an Astros highlight?
It's an Astros highlight.
Okay.
It's an Astros highlight,
in
and
Seattle.
It's against the Seattle Mariners at Seattle. Two purely miserable teams outside of Felix Hernandez.
Uh-huh. King Felix.
And the rest of the Mariners who decided they can't hit. Okay, they're batting
never
about 100 on the season. They're absolutely terrible. So this is, it's an 8-3 game.
Oh.
Somehow Houston's winning.
That says a lot about Seattle.
Just
really
terrible.
Disappointed.
Now, there's no reason we would ever talk about a baseball game like this unless something happened. Now, this doesn't deserve, this happens, you know, not often, but it happens about once a year. We'll let you listen into the highlight here. Now, that's a foul ball. Seattle up to bat. Foul ball goes back to the stands, pretty deep back into the stands.
Small in an 0-2 hold.
Crowd.
You hear the crowd. The crowd is what gives it away, because the crowd's never – 300 people in Seattle aren't going to cheer for for just a random foul ball when their team's down 5 runs, so there must be something special happening.
Uh-huh. The sun came out or something.
Camera immediately cuts to guy in stupid what looks to be button-down cardigan or sweater or something.
Yeah, what is that?
Way too tight.
Disaster.
Take it easy, buddy.
It looks like button-up underarm.
Yeah. Well, he has a beer, and the ball landed in his full cup of beer. So what would you do?
We don't know if he caught it or it just happened to land there.
Yeah,
but...
yeah. So he decides the only thing to do is to chug that beer.
Obviously.
Now,
oh, what a disaster.
I know it.
Oh, my God.
The only reason we're referencing this, now, this could have been cool. Oh, no.
Done right.
Baseball in my cup. Down the hatch, you chug 16 ounces of your beer, and then you take the ball out, hold it to the crowd. All the other filthy animals who are there with you cheer. It's a nice moment.
You know what would have been sweet is if it would have been a home run that Houston hit. Then he chugs his beer and then throws the ball back like they do.
Yes. That would have been a shining moment.
It really would. That's a moment in life that only you get.
Yeah.
And you got to knock it out of the park when it comes to you, man.
Now, the reason we even mention that is because they cut to this guy chugging his beer, and he doesn't chug any of the beer. The screenshot I have right now is of the dummy with two teeth cheering him on behind
dude,
him.
This headline, Safeco Field fan catches foul ball in full cup of beer, chugs it on the spot. Very misleading because he, in fact, doesn't chug the beer. He dumps it all over his stupid
does.
Chest.
That's all that happens is it goes from cup to stupid shirt in one instant. This is absolutely bad. I don't know.
Maybe this was strategic by him. Maybe that's like a shirt his girlfriend bought him and
he
hated it.
He wants to get rid of it. Yeah. Now, it goes just all over his shirt. He got maybe 1 ounce of beer out of that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But that doesn't matter.
I hope you enjoyed your $9 shower, sir.
And then he couldn't even get the baseball. He dumped it on the ground and he handed it to his old man. Now, what the announcers
by the way, there are like 50 people at this game, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. Because if you're in Seattle, your team's terrible. The team visiting is also terrible. Why would you go out to see that?
Can't imagine what would possess anyone to do that.
I do love
unless it was like 50 cent beer night at the park.
Yeah, I do love the announcer's reaction to this, though.
Caught it in his beer. How about that? We catch him the beer.
This dude is tickled.
Oh, he snatched it.
Yeah,
watch
that was
this.
Impressive. That dude is legitimately tickled, though, this announcer. Unbelievable. I wonder what that beer is, by the way, because it appears to be a coffee, and I don't think they sell Guinness at a lot of ballparks. Maybe that uppity Northwest crowd
needs
it.
It's a Starbucks Coors.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah. Starbucks, and then he brought in his own beer and just poured it in.
Oh my God.
An iced beer coffee.
I wouldn't put it past these animals that go to a Mariners-Astro game.
Yeah. Now, this next story, it's not much in terms of making fun of it, although I disagree with it. It's more to make a point that the NCAA claims that they cannot pay their athletes, yet something like this can happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Ohio State on probation, bowl game list last year. I believe that was their only ban, wasn't it? Last year?
I think it's 1 year, yeah.
Well, they went undefeated anyway in Urban Meyer's first year. They were losing some scholarships. But needless to say, their 12-0 record essentially did not even count.
No.
And deservedly so. Their players actively selling their own memorabilia to tattoo parlors in Terrell Pryor. Just an absolute mess in that school, which honestly I think we can both agree that probably had happened years and years and years in a row at that university from the way that former head coach Jim Tressel simply brushed it under the rug.
There's no doubt
it happened before. There's no doubt in my mind. Well, that did not stop Ohio State from getting all of its students asinine sized rings for going 12-0. I mean, I don't have the details on the ring, but it looks absolutely
expensive as hell.
Diamond clad gold. I mean, it's a legitimate Super Bowl sized ring that you can never wear because it probably weighs 4 pounds.
And some gold pants?
Gold Pants go for beating Michigan. I guess they do that every year.
Oh.
Every year they beat Michigan, they give their players gold. Like, wouldn't you carry that around your keychain? Hey, no. Oh, that's just my gold pants. No big deal. But anyway, this ring is so gigantic. So let's look at the irony of this.
Okay.
Your former staff and players got fired for a scandal involving players selling memorabilia for services rendered.
I believe they were actually selling their championship rings.
Why wouldn't you give them diamond-clad rings for going 12-0?
Because it's Urban Meyer. He's been doing this for years, too.
He seems like such a douche because they lied on the ring anyway. The right champions.
You're not
They're
champions.
They're not the champion of anything unless on top it says regular season fake. Because that's all you are. You're not the champion of anything. That's like Penn State getting rings for all of those wins that were vacated.
We're the cheating champions.
Yeah, the cheating champions of the world. Way to go, Urban Meyer. Way to continue to reinforce the idea that Ohio State's full of nothing but douchebags.
It really is true because...
What a reprehensible move.
It seems like this happened. We get a story like this from Ohio State, it seems like, every couple of weeks or so.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see a video from their spring practice in which they let their mascot Brutus take a snap?
Yeah.
And
he got bowled over.
The douchebag players.
Unbelievable.
Obviously, he's just in the play to score a touchdown or, you know, get the fans who went to the practice riled up and excited. But this meathead linebacker just lays him out before he can do anything with the ball.
Yeah, and it seems like that's the culture apparently
it is
down there. And I don't know how that happened. I don't know how you can sit there and, you know, the other story that I wanted to reference with Ohio State in regards to their 12-0 season is how always after the fact, you know, there's some group of busybody do-gooder citizens who wanted, oh, we're going to petition and we're going to have these sanctions removed so this 12-0 season can count.
Yeah, whatever, losers.
And Ohio State fans want to point to the fact that, oh, well, what was it? One of the polls, I think the comprehensive poll at the end of the year still ranked them. So they were ranked like number 2 or number 3 in the country, even though they couldn't even, oh my God.
Just get over it.
It really is.
You should be lucky you only got 1 year.
They really should. And this is the biggest figurative middle finger to the NCAA and to the Big Ten that I've ever seen. Because the Big Ten, they were not allowed to even compete in the Big Ten championship. No bowl game or championship game appearances, which makes the presence of the word champions all the more baffling.
Ludicrous. It just makes me sick that this is the same man who coached the one and only Timothy Richard Tebow.
Oh,
I don't know how he escaped.
I don't know either. He rose above it.
That's all you can do. It takes a bigger man than I.
It did. You know what? Look what these years away from Timothy Richard have done to Urban Meyer, though.
You're right.
They've
You're right.
Just
maybe that's
soiled
it.
Him.
You're right. Maybe that's it.
He just needs to be reunited.
Uh huh. Get him back to the NFL.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's what Ohio State has to look for. Yay! I wonder what they're going to do this year when they go 9-3. Will they get rings for that too?
I hope the story continues, and I hope that they have more sanctions for selling these rings.
Oh, please, someone come in with a full back tattoo one day. Please. I so badly want that. A full back tattoo or something like, you know, just an entire new wardrobe and a convertible.
Cadillac Escalade.
Oh, just the arrogance on these players. I remember when they were going through these sanctions and craziness, the quarterback, Terrell Pryor, was still coming to practice every day in some crazy expensive car.
Yeah, he was doing that, and I think he was, like, wearing a chain into the locker room, like some big, long,
just
fancy
totally,
gold chain.
Just totally flying in the face of everything. Now, TJ, I must ask you in hindsight now, because it came down to, for Terrell Pryor,
Michigan,
it came down to Michigan, Ohio State. Are you glad with the decision that was made?
No, I'm not. He would have been great at Michigan. I don't know. It's tough to say because we got 4 years of Denard.
But
instead,
what if the same thing had happened at Michigan?
If he had sold his stuff?
What if he's like the ringleader and he was like, hey, guys, we can sell our jerseys for tats and stupid stuff?
Well, I mean, it's been going on. It had been going on there before that.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Maurice Claret and wide receiver. His name's escaping me.
Yeah, you're right. I forget his name as well.
But it was years before that was even happening. So, no, this is a cultural problem at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're above that. We're above that.
Of course. There he is. Okay, sorry. Did not mean to disrespect you by the insinuation, sir. Final story we got for you today. This is more of a media-style story, TJ, but he is in the news, and he has been recently. One, Jason Whitlock. Believe he was in trouble. I don't know if it was his was not RG. It may have been RG3 related, but it
might have been. That was, I know Rob Parker got in trouble.
That was on ESPN. Yeah. But Jason Whitlock, columnist for FoxSports.com, he's a controversy stirring guy.
Everything he writes is race related.
It is, and he likes to play that card, and I don't know why. But he's the kind of guy, he's the guy who does that, who has gained traction somehow. No idea.
It's beyond me. I don't know. I've never read him, and well, I've tried to read him, and I just find it so self-serving. So
it is.
It's like trying to be above everything.
It's as baffling to me as the people who watch First Take.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I never will, but apparently there is an audience for it, so he makes a living off this.
And a massive one, too.
For the
disgusting.
Speaking of massive, Jason Whitlock. Okay, hey-o. Jason Whitlock is a large fella. He's a wide man who has an affinity for food. He's not hitting the treadmill when he's not writing. That's not his backup.
You know those way stations that semi trucks have to go through on the highway? When he's driving his regular four-door sedan, he also has to hit the way station.
You know what? Forget Shaq. I want to see Jason Whitlock sitting in one of those Buick hybrids. That's what I want to see. I want to see how
both
he
both of
fits.
Them at once.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I want to see that thing squat. You want to see the sparks?
Do you think that the tires would just flatten out like a cartoon? That, you know, like cartoons when there's too much weight in the car, the wheels will just fold out and flatten.
Comic fashion. I'm sure that thing takes an absolute beating if both of those men were in there.
Like how when James Bond drives a car into the ocean, the wheels flip up and become like hover motor engines.
Yeah. Well, now, I don't know about you, TJ, but I know you're an all sports fan. We both are, but I'm a pretty good sized golf fan. I don't follow it tightly, but the majors, I'll watch them. I'll follow the leaderboards. I enjoy watching Sunday at the Masters. It's one of my favorite days of the year.
I hate it. I find it intolerable.
Oh, I absolutely adore golf.
I love playing it.
I think actually being able to cover the Masters or anything like that, I think that would be, for me, that would be a fantastic job.
I'd probably kill myself of boredom. I would stand in front of Tiger Woods' tee shot and just hope he hits me in the face.
Well, Jason Whitlock, national columnist, Fox Sports, covers the Masters usually. This year, TJ, he decided to decline that assignment. Now, he's not busy. He doesn't have anything else. You know, he doesn't have a personal issue, whatever it may be. His reason, he went to Twitter. So pissed not going to the Masters. Literally didn't go because I wanted to avoid the food.
Hashtag big boy problems. Now, I mean, maybe this is something we're just not familiar with, as we're not members of hashtag big boy. But
now, there's two ways to interpret this. The one way is that when I initially read this, I thought it was that he didn't think the food was good enough. But the way it actually means is that I don't want to give him grief for this, but this seems absurd. He's going because he can't help himself because the food is too good. That is literally the dumbest reason to turn down a dream of, for a lot of people, an assignment of a lifetime.
Yeah, and I don't understand his, like, his backtracking here. He's pissed at himself for not going, or
like, did you realize, oh man, I probably could have turned it down.
Yeah.
Like, late? I don't know how this works.
Like,
so,
if he really wanted to, he could probably still go to the Masters, right? Or is that not a possibility?
Now, keep in mind, when I read this list of places, he won't go because he doesn't trust himself with food. That this man is a columnist, a writer, with a journalism degree for a national website.
Yeah.
Places he won't go because of the food. Number one, Masters. fried chicken tastes like my daddy's.
Mm-hmm. That's
number
true.
Two, Super Bowls in New Orleans. Effing some crazy regional food is off the chains.
Must be a black guy thing.
Any sporting event in Indianapolis. My mother and father don't play in the kitchen. My mama's pizza casserole makes children weep.
Pizza casserole?
We talked about this earlier. We're literally throw ingredients in a dish, throw it in the oven, and pull it out 2 hours later and say, voila, meal.
I can understand the fried chicken, sir. Fried chicken, that's certainly not good for you. I've never heard of anyone in this entire world before right this second that has eaten pizza casserole.
Just eat a pizza!
Yeah. Isn't that what it is?
What is the difference? Is it just no crust? Is it just a lot of toppings and cheese thrown together in a dish?
You know what? I think it is. It's probably no crust. It's probably just cheese and sauce and like a full pepperoni.
Just not slice. Literally a
pepperoni
roll
links.
Pepperoni links, like cut up into half.
Oh my God.
Then, yeah, thrown into a casserole dish, thrown into the oven, pulled out hours later, boom, pizza casserole.
Plus, Whitlock strikes me as the kind of guy who would also throw in, like, a bag of sausage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like probably a pound or two of bacon across the top. You know, he strikes me as an epic mealtime guy. I'm not sure if you're familiar with their work. But that's what pizza casserole sounds like to me.
Yeah, he's the guy going to 14 different fast food places, combining all of those for 100,000 calories. He's doing that.
He is.
Okay.
He can't help himself,
or
though.
Or at least he used to. I mean, I feel weird doing this. I'm deriding this guy for turning down this assignment, but it's for his, you know, his health and his livelihood. But
yeah, whatever.
Still, like, grow up. You're an adult. Just because you see a McDonald's doesn't mean you need to eat it, you animal.
True that.
Grow up. I will never understand that. So we just wanted to quick mention that.
That's the other thing. You're like, is that the only thing they have at the Masters is fried chicken?
Yeah,
or is there not like a vegetarian option?
I'm looking
or
at a menu that has sandwiches with egg salad, chicken breast,
get it
ham
together,
and cheese, tuna salad. Your fat ass doesn't need to eat fried chicken.
Oh, my God.
Jesus!
This isn't the slave ship, or this isn't Nazi Germany.
Yeah! My God, there's varieties, my good man! You have a meal stipend! Go somewhere! Jesus!
It's not like the Masters is like, oh yeah, golf, gentlemen only, lady forbidden, also no green things.
Yeah! No veggies! You leave!
Get out of here, pussy!
If it did come out of the deep fryer, your ass is moving! Okay?
Oh, you'd like a coffee? Yeah, one deep-fried coffee, please.
Yeah, please. Take the coffee bean, deep-fry it, and I'll just chew it.
Oh my gosh. I think we just invented something great, actually.
Look out for the Texas State Fair next year, deep-fried coffee bean. So we just wanted to mention that quickly. That is all the time we have for this week. I don't know if you did notice, but that is a tightly run ship right there, TJ. That's high content, high funny, high quality for almost 70 minutes.
Get in, get out, give the people what they want.
Listen, we got to go. We got to go punch out.
Yeah.
We did our, you know, boom, boom. Put that card in the machine. We did our time.
Yeah, we don't get overtime here. Anything we do overtime is extra for you.
Yeah, so I think the only difference is we're getting out a little bit early because we didn't have to pick up the work from somebody else slacking off in the corner.
Yeah, you know, the old lady didn't need the extra funds this week.
Exactly,
so.
We, you know, didn't need to go shopping, so we can leave work a little early.
Stocked up on diapers for the kids last week.
All set to go. That's all the time we got. Hit us up, @RidingThePine3 on Twitter. Haven't been as active on that recently. I'll make a conscious decision to change that this upcoming week, as well as Facebook.com/RidingThePine. We are soliciting fantasy baseball questions. We already have handled one question. Looking at anything more?
Do you want to break that down for the people who don't frequently visit the Facebook page? Do you want to break down Christopher's disaster?
We can briefly touch on this fantasy baseball trade.
Okay, let's hit it. 109:30, and we'll go for a minute and a half.
Okay, let's go.
All right, Christopher, I believe traded David Wright.
Star third baseman.
MVP candidate.
Yes.
Is there a doubt?
No, never.
and I don't know, two pitchers.
Jared Parker, yeah, who is a starter for the the Los Angeles Angels.
Oh, okay.
Because
I'm sorry,
it's Oakland. It's Oakland, which means if he's a young guy coming from Oakland, you know he's going to be a stud.
Yeah, well, okay. Duh. Okay, here we go.
So here is the actual terms of the trade. I know a centerpiece goes by the name of Tim Hudson, so you know that's a real problem.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
The trade is he gave up David Wright, Bobby Parnell, who I believe is a closer for, I want to say, the Mets or somebody like that, and Jared Parker, a starter in the Oakland A's organization, a team who could very possibly win the AL West.
Yes.
And in return, listen to what he got. I would say the best player he got is Kyle Loesch, who signed less than a week before the season started in Milwaukee to be the number two, coming off of a contract year
in St. Louis.
Good contract year, but a contract year in a St. Louis team.
Loaded.
Yes.
Loaded offense.
Good, great bullpen.
Awesome defensively.
Just that's the best guy he got in return for David Wright MVP, Bobby Parnell, good closer, Jared Parker, number three starter in Oakland. Also, Tim Lincecum. Mm. Now, you may forget Tim Lincecum because he was shuffled to the bullpen in the postseason last year because he was so terrible in the regular season.
His ERA was like 5.9 during the regular season. And this isn't something that it wasn't an off year. This is something that's been tracking for a long time.
His velocity's down in his career. He struck me as the kind of guy who coasted through his first 5-6 years in baseball based on skill. And now it's on the downturn, and I don't know if that's going to turn around
anytime
soon.
Never learned how to pitch. Always
through.
Through. Yeah.
Through. Thrower, not a pitcher. And also, and here's the big winner, guys, Tim Hudson.
Yep.
You know, the Oakland A. No wait, he's in Atlanta.
No wait, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, when he was good. This isn't this is not Moneyball.
It's not.
He's on the Atlanta Braves, a very good team, don't get me wrong, but Tim Hudson is a number four, number five on a good Atlanta Braves team until Brandon Beachy comes back in about a month and a half and firmly places Hudson either out of the rotation or down to the number five slot for sure.
Christopher strikes me as the guy who also drafted Ken Griffey Jr. and Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, listen, I'm sorry that David Justice wasn't available on Yahoo, but stop writing your angry email to them. Okay? So that's the type of insight you're looking for. If you want to,
that's a D at best.
I graded it out as a D. Now, that's the type of insight you're getting. TJ and I tried our hardest to talk Christopher out of this trade. It did not work. I believe he'll suffer the consequences at the end of the season. But if you want your trade analyzed or any questions you may have about your lineup, hit us up there, facebook.com/RidingThePine. We're not going to pull any punches. You know, you're kind of an extended part of the Riding the Pine family. We're going to treat you like it. We're going to treat you like we treated Nader Tot today.
True.
Not good. If it's a bad decision.
You know what? They call it tough love.
It is.
You don't get anywhere being the pushover.
If it's a good decision, we'll tell you. If it's a poor decision, we'll make fun of you like we just did. So to keep that in mind.
By the way, my favorite thing to do is people who clearly don't know what they're doing. And just propose ludicrous things like that.
Yep.
Which is why I always try to make trades with Nader Tot, and I'm a little disappointed he's not in our baseball league.
I know it. It seems like he'd be the guy to get the once over on.
Yeah.
We'll keep you updated on that as the season goes along, as TJ and I trudge along in a baseball season with 29 different positions, with 29 players.
Yep.
As well as much, much more. We'll be back next week. You have been listening to Riding the Pine.